You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
And welcome to Win-Win Podcast. This is Ben Wolf, as always, your host. We're going to talk with our guest today about whether your team trust bites and what to do about it. And with that, I want to ask you guys to subscribe, leave a review, supports the content here, makes it available through the algorithms of the all-powerful social media overlords and podcast overlords. If you do that, so I appreciate that. And getting into introducing our guest today, though, before we get, what do I mean by does your team trust bite? Our guest today is an expert EOS implementer of the highest designation, one of the OGs in that whole world, a mentor to many other EOS implementers, for those of you who are familiar with the EOS system. He's the founder of Byte 7. He's the author of The Patient Organization, Death of the Org Chart, and the upcoming book, which will be published by Ben Bella Books, called Attract and Repel, about this whole Byte 7 concept, which you'll hear about in a minute. You can learn about Walt Brown, our guest today, and everything that he is up to at Byte7.com. That's just how you'd think that it's spelled, BITE7.com. And welcome, Walt.
Well, good morning, Mr. Wolf. How are you?
I am pretty good. Thank God. Can't complain.
Nice to be back with you. Last time we were together was at the conference in Indianapolis, right?
Yes. Yeah. A few months ago, over out in the Midwest, Indianapolis, I had a good time there. And we had had a conversation there about a few topics, including fractional integrators and COOs and the whole, you know, how that relates to the whole EOS world and everything. And it was such an interesting conversation. You had some insights in that conversation that I have been periodically every couple of weeks, like quoting to people, including the most recent time actually was last week that it came up. So really enjoyed that conversation and getting to meet you, your session on like in-depth or sort of advanced accountability chart factors and redos, which was very interesting. But let me ask you this, if you could just quick tell us about a 2-minute background on yourself, sort of give us a little context for this conversation about team trust and this whole topic. Like, how did you, where did you come from and how did we get to be talking about this?
Yeah, kind of where we are. So I'm a team guy. I've always been, you know, I was a lineman. So that means I was the slowest player on the field. I played center, which means it's always understood the playbook, but always been a team guy. Came out of school as an accounting and statistics guy, worked for EY for 4 audit seasons, took the IQ exam, scored low enough, was allowed to start my own company. And that was a company that we did mail order catalogs for people who raced sailboats. So I've always been a big sailboat racer. I'm kind of bigger, so I'm not on like a small boat. I was typically on keel boats, 8 people, 9 people. Biggest boats were, you know, crews as big as 21 people. Hmm. So I've always deeply involved in like racing and team type stuff. And then sold my companies in 06 and became a executive coach running peer boards, kind of like a Visage chair. And was doing that and got a little frustrated with them getting great strategic advice from their boards, but not being able to execute. And I was digging for around, and Don Tenney, you know, Geno's integrator, called me in late 07. I was on my mountain bike, found me on Google. I was on Google search page 9. I was the only guy he called. I told him he was sick. What he got going on, and got introduced to EOS, and then came in and started EOS in 2008 as like the third implementer. And, wow, you know, just been doing that for close to 1400 session days now, and just really watching how EOS first starts out by transforming the leadership team. And then if you get it right, it can transform your whole organization. That's sort of the path. Close to 200 clients.
Right. Well, I mean, very impressive. I know you've got a lot of war stories along that path. When you talk about this Byte 7 assessment or this assessment for team health, before you get into what that is and how, and like, and, you know, teaching maybe some tools or things that people should be doing to improve team health that they might learn to, that they need to be doing from this assessment, but what problem were you solving? Like when you developed this 7 questions, which I know you've been talking about for a long time, it's featured in The Patient Organization. This is not even only from your upcoming book,
and your
current business, or the new business, I should say. But what problem are you solving for with this?
So this will be a little bit long, but I'll anchor it. So along this journey of after selling the companies and EOS discovering me, I got a weird phone call from Gallup. like in 06, and they were recruiting business coaches to see if the business coaches could teach their employee engagement program called the Q12. A lot of people are aware of it. So I'm a Q12 fan. And then when I got into doing EOS, I always saw EOS as an employee engagement program. I just couldn't let the two go, but I could never quite link it up. And I always kind of taught it, but it never linked. And then, so the seven questions have been around since 14. And where it came from was back when everybody was complaining about millennials. Remember that time? I think people still complain about millennials.
Now they complain about Gen Z. So
Gen Zs. And it's the same pattern, man, over and over. But it made me scratch my head because I looked at the clients I was working with and going, you know, we're not sharing that stereotype. As a matter of fact, we're blowing it out of the water. And what I did is I asked my clients, I had 82 by that point, and asked them if I could engage with their millennials to figure out what we were doing through EOS that was breaking the mold. And we did focus groups, and it came back that there were seven things that EOS was answering for them as they considered whether they were happy at work, basically. Let's just call that engagement or trust. And it was, you know, the seven things are, was it clear what it meant to belong at this organization? Did they belong? Humans want to be part of a tribe. You know, we're prey if we're not part of a tribe or a pack. They wanted to know what they were being asked to believe in. They wanted to know what they were accountable for and responsible for, needed to be clear. They wanted to know how success was measured so they could work toward the success numbers. They wanted to know how the organization listens and how they could participate in being heard. They wanted to know how they could participate in their own development. And ultimately, wanted to know what balance meant. Like, you know, just be truthful with me with the number of hours this job takes and how much it pays and stuff. And if you could just be honest with them, which EOS allows you to do, then, you know, you can get into the seven questions. And then ultimately that led to kind of where I am now in that whole piece. When you measure those seven things, you can measure organizational health. So a second ago, I'm not correcting you here, Ben, but so team health, we talk about it like the senior leadership team, and EOS does a beautiful job of building team health. Behind me, there's some curves. I don't know if you saw those, but there's what I have going for the, yeah, those of you who aren't on the screen, there's just a standard, you know, graph with time running on the horizontal axis and basically money in a scale of like 1 to 10 or 1 to 100 going up the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. And when we start with EOS, you know, our tools aren't very strong, and over time we can increase the strength of our tools and then measure how strong those tools are through our organizational checkup. So you'll see that going from like a 40 or 60 up to a 80 or 90. And then we're using Lencioni's trust pyramid to ask leadership on a scale of like 1 to 10, how trusting is the organization? Remember, it's all about without trust, there's no debate. With no debate, there's no commitment, no accountability results, just that stack. So We can baseline that, and you can watch EOS over time increase the senior leadership team's health through just asking them on a scale of 1 to 10 in real time. And then the other thing you'll start seeing through those is those two rise, the leadership team trust and the tools commitment. The green line above me is just basically results, financial results, whatever results you want to do. And those lift, and the results lift. And then at the same time, you're not able to see it, but there's a red line behind me that I call organizational health. You know, as the leadership team goes, so goes the rest of the organization. It creates kind of a vacuum, and the organizational health increases too, not at the same rate, but it goes up. And where EOS gets stuck a lot of times, it gets stuck at the leadership team level. We don't flip the script and make all this health stuff and make EOS for our people. We kind of make it to them. And if we can flip the script, we actually have a gap between the organizational health and the leadership team health that's available to us to basically 10x. And so we use the seven questions, seven promise bite methodology to measure where we are, and then use the measurement of bite to communicate with our people. We're trying to do this for you, not to you. Let's engage. And you can actually watch the organizational health go up and match the leadership team health over time. And then the green line, your results, just 10Xs, because every time you add a new person, they're coming in to yes to the seven questions. So that's a lot of stuff, but that's what you see.
Yeah.
So ceiling about here. That's where people get stuck with EOS because they haven't turned it into an organizational health. They're dealing still with the senior leadership team.
Right.
A lot of stuff at you all right off the bat, Ben. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that is a lot. That is a lot of stuff. Could you go a little more slowly through the seven and you refer on the board behind you to the seven promises that you went through just now. But can you go through those seven elements, let's say, of health, buy-in, trust, inclusion, right? And an engagement. And I guess go through those seven things and maybe just a little bit more deeply, because you did it kind of quickly, which is great. And then, so we got a bird's eye view, but if you could help understand those things a little bit more.
Well, so I'm a model guy. My Colby is a 8, which means I want strategy and tactics and facts, 3 follow through, 5 quick start, and a 5 implementer. So I model things and I see them in a 3-dimensional deal. That's where my mind works. I wonder where this crazy guy's coming from. But on the board behind me, I have Lencioni's trust pyramid. And in the first annual, when you're with an implementer with EOS or you're doing it on your own, we reveal that EOS is a trust building program. Surprise, EOS is a trust building program. So when you start digging into this, the big fat base of Lencioni's of trust pyramid, that's what it's all about. You start digging into trust, you start reading David Rock stuff, his scarf stuff, Dr. Kahneman and around system one and system two thinking, you start studying fear and all of these things. And basically what we find is in order for somebody to feel high levels of buy-in, inclusion, trust, and engagement in a tribe, they need to be able to say, hey, this is a place I belong. This is my core values. I have the same belief systems that everybody else does in the organization. And then do I believe, where's the company going? What's our focus? What's our purpose, cause, and passion? What's 3 years look like? What does 1 year look like? What are our priorities look like for the next 90 days? Can actually buy into the strategy that leadership is laying down. And you can measure this on a scale of 1 to 10, right? And 8.5 or a 9 or a 10 is like a big old yes. So it's like net promoter score. A 7 or an 8.5 is meh. And then anything below a 7 is like no, right? And then they're asking, do I understand and embrace what I'm accountable for? Which means they understand their roles and what they're responsible for doing and accountable for thinking, understanding, embracing how they're measured. Humans want to know whether they've done a good job or not. In the organizational checkup of EOS, we talk about everybody has a number. And that's a weekly number, so you know if you've done a good job or not. Some tools, you go straight to the EOS. We don't need more tools from EOS. When it comes to being heard, we're just saying, the organization is super clear on when the communication channels open and when the communication channels close. And they're very consistent on communicating. This is when we hear, this is when you can be heard. And the person understands and buys into, that's when I can be heard. How they can take advantage of their own development needs to be super clear. You can't force somebody to be developed, Ben, but you have to be clear as an organization and say, these are the gaps. This is where you step in to be in control of your own development. And then finally, balance is just about really being super honest about what the job takes, how it ties the roles in terms of what it pays. But so, and we're asking on a scale of 1 to 10, each one of those things in the total numbers end up with this thing we call a bite index, which is in essence, like a net promoter score for your organizational health.
Within the team, right. And when you get that score, you mentioned that if you start working on these things, then over time you could track the improvement of that bite 7 assessment score or index. What kind of things can people do if they realize that, hey, my team is like there's something lacking in the way my team feels a belonging or belief in what we're doing or accountability, measurement, being heard, being developed or balanced? What is it that, I guess, what are some things that they could be doing that will increase that index?
So let me throw another little not angle on it, but a really important piece is, so we have the bite 7 index. So the bite index is the measurement. The methodology is called the 7 promises framework. And so the idea here is, it's just a lot of people don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about the importance of a promise. And when you think about the best leaders you've ever followed, they paint this picture of the future and they keep that future for you. They're making a promise to you and then they're keeping the promise. And any broken promise kills trust. We just know that. So it's an important work that has to be done up front so that the owners and the leadership team are on the same page with what it means to belong and believe, be accountable, measure, et cetera. So you got some work done up front. And then the way it's communicated and rolled out is we do the survey first to the entire organization or piece of it. And then the people that we did the survey with, we have a meeting with them. It's like the state of the company and say, hey, do you remember that survey? Well, these were the results. And what we're trying to do through asking you these questions is we want you to be able to say yes to these seven things. And we're going to work on it. And we're going to survey you at least twice a year. And then the way we're going to keep our promises and make our promises is through this operating system. You know, we run on EOS. And I just want to link with you, these tools that we're using are for you, not to you. This thing called the People Analyzer and Core Values is defining what it means to belong. You know, so you can actually use the results of the survey to let them see that the tools we're using in EOS aren't like, you know, whips and lashes and chains and yokes, but they're actually, you know, empowerment tools for our people. Don't need any more tools. We just need to create the context and deliver the context for our people of what the tools are for them and not to them.
Right. Roll out those tools for their intended purpose, which is to connect to these seven promises.
Exactly.
Tell us a story or an example or two about any of your clients or people that you've worked with, what they were before, you know, what was happening before, you know, what happened when they did this assessment or they got this clarity, what did they do about it? What happened afterward?
Yeah. And so anyone who's sort of been through the journey, whether you've been done it on yourself with an implementer, you know, so much of the work is just at the leadership team level first. If you can't get the leadership buying into these seven things, then nothing is going to happen. And then a lot of times people get a little bit frustrated because it's all joy and happiness at the leadership team level, but not pressed out. And that's like, we are looking for that stuck point when you're hitting that ceiling. I kind of described it earlier. It's when you're getting a 90 on your organizational checkup. You're all saying, rah, rah, we love each other. We're a 9 on our trust for our team health. And we've grown and we've seen a nice increase in our results or our bottom line. That's that hitting the ceiling where you got a little bit of a flattening out. And it's also an indicator that we haven't rolled EOS out to the entire organization. We haven't flipped the script and gotten them engaged and weren't using EOS as a way to create organizational health. But when you can, I'll give some specific examples, which are pretty cool, and write about it in the book, then the last piece we're measuring is the bite index. So a lot of companies are starting out around a 30 or a 40 with regards to their organizational health. How strong are they? You know, you're only about a 40 or 30, and we're trying to get up to around an 80. I got another model I could show you here a little bit, but what we do is when we watch companies, they go through the EOS model and they hit the first ceiling, do great, it's giving them results, hit the ceiling, and then they start rolling it out and they're looking at things like 23% increases in their bottom line and a big increase or decrease in the amount of absenteeism. Their sales results go up, the gross margins typically go up, you know, 6 or 7%. It's just kind of crazy. I could pull the book out and give you all the numbers, Ben, but and one specific company was really cool. Apples to Apples was a big janitorial supply distribution business in Atlanta and one in the Triangle area. Almost the exact same size, over 100 million, you know, 200 employees. And it was cool to watch both of them go through the exact same curves and reach the exact same numbers. First level where they started before EOS, they get to a plateau and then they break through the next plateau. It was really pretty cool. They use the same buying group, same everything. But
So can you say something about how they broke through that second ceiling?
They broke through the second ceiling by re-rolling EOS out to the organization on top of the seven promises. And then making sure that they were using all the really important tools to get people on the same page. Like if you're running EOS and you're not leaning into LMA, lead managed create accountability, that includes the quarterly conversation and a really solid review of all your roles every 90 days and a discussion about the core values and setting development rocks for them every 90 days, then you know, a lot of people are missing those really important tools. So it just helps them reinforce and push it all the way out to the front lines.
Right.
You know, the tree grows with its roots and its trunk, but the fruit is born at the end of the lead, into the limbs. You know, you got to get all the way out.
Right. Like roll everything out all the way to the end, right? So, right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, I did hit something here. If you fill up with a question, if not, I'm going to share a little model with you.
So share this other model. Let's hear it.
Okay. So it's the exact same model still in the world. So what I'm getting ready to draw on the board, you guys, is what we call the H graph. So imagine I'm drawing a big capital H behind us.
Okay. Now I appreciate the verbal element as well for those who are listening but not watching.
I can do that. And remember, I'm a facilitator. So some people watch the board, some people listen. And so in this H graph, the horizontal line across is a dotted line. And that basically represents the amount of energy people are putting into an organization.
Okay.
So you're putting energy in and out. And we'll do a byte index. We'll do a survey. And typically the curve, there's part of the curve that's below below the energy line. And part of the curve that's above, barely above the energy line. And then there's a big part of the curve that's that's above the energy line. Let me kind of go. So what does
being below the energy line actually mean?
It means that you're basically sucking energy out of the organization.
That the team members are sucking energy out. Okay.
The team member is sucking energy out.
They're not a net adder of energy to the organization.
Yeah, you're not. So we call that the negative area. They're negative energy. Then we have in the middle.
I think everybody can relate. Like they know what that means. Like they know the people you work with. What?
Yeah, and they know who that person is.
Yeah, the people who, whenever I talk to them, they suck the energy out of the room. They suck the energy out of me. They drain me. If you heard this Dan Sullivan term, I'm sure you have, talking about bringing people on the team who have batteries included.
Yes, they're bringing their batteries and they're plugging them into the organization and feeding the organization.
And not that they're a drain on everybody else and the manager just to drain their own energy to power up and motivate and micromanage and tell everybody what to do. And it just drains everything.
Every piece of energy. And sometimes they're actually organizational terrorists where they're really, you know, intentionally draining, offsetting people. So so you got a negative, we're on it. You got negative, you got neutral, and then you got positive where people are really bringing a ton of energy to the organization. And typically when we survey people for the first time, they're trying to run on an EOS, so a little bit better than most companies, right? They already care about the stuff. But we typically see like 18% of the employees are negative. They're dragging energy out of us. 22 are neutral, and then 60 are positive. So the
I mean, 60, when people start looking at this.
Yes, when okay. They first the first survey, and it doesn't really change. Even if you've been on EOS for a little bit of time, it's about the same because it normally hadn't been rolled out. It's still stuck at the leadership team. So you measure your organization. And so it's not unusual for this kind of numbers to come back.
Okay.
So the 60% of the positive are where all your great ideas come from, where all your breakthroughs come from, everything great. And the 22 is okay. We still need them. They're kind of the coal cars to do the work. But that 18 is a real problem because coming from Gallup, they say that one actively disengaged person is offsetting an actively engaged. So mm-hmm. You take 18 and you subtract it from your 60 and you end up with a byte index of a 42.
Mm-hmm.
So you used to have like 60 horsepower. Now you're at 42. The cool opportunity basically is another drawing I'm drawing, guys, where I took the dotted line and I draw it as a circle with a gap at the top. And we call that the danger/opportunity gap. And on the left-hand side of the gap are your 18% who are negative. And on the right-hand side of the gap are your 60% that are positive. And then your 22 that are neutral are kind of at the bottom. And this is, we call it the danger/opportunity or the I care gap. These people care. They want to be a yes to the seven questions. And so the irony, the danger part, is this 60%, these positive care so much that if you piss them off or something happens, you can lose them to active disengagement, active negativity faster right. Than they will ever live in neutral. Think about yourself is what I always ask the questions. You're positive. You want to be bringing energy. You want to allow yourself to be neutral. Not for long.
Yeah. You'll yeah. No, I could think of stories.
Yeah.
So what does this mean? So if someone thinks about this, final question, if someone's thinking about this model, they realize, okay, let's say they're starting off at approximately this place, maybe 18% of people in the organization are sort of negative, but, you know, sucking energy, so to speak, 22% relatively neutral, but 60% positive, want to do better, want to succeed, want the best.
Yeah.
What do people do with that information?
So the last little piece here, which is cool, with the tools of EOS, you have everything you need about using the BITE index and the 7 promises to communicate. You actually have the opportunity to pull these 18. You can pull the 18 over to the 6 additive there, or we can help them self-select out. So just by part of doing this, they actually see that, hey, maybe this isn't a good place for me. You know, I score pretty low.
Meaning start focusing on what it means to belong, so and core values. Start focusing on GWC, on your role. Start focusing on what do we believe, where we're going, about accountability and measurement. And that's going to, like, activists like, okay, wait, this is not what I bargained for. Some people are going to move away. Others are going to say, like, oh, okay, I'm actually I can actually have something to believe in now. It's not just showing up for work and filling out a checklist every day anymore.
Exactly. And they don't have to be like a 9 or a 10. They can be an 8. An 8 is a really good score. So, you know, we measure it. And ultimately, over time, when you start making these promises and keeping them, the people who are in the positive area buy into it. And they actually start putting pressure on the negatives. And they start bringing the neutrals up. And then when it's really rocking and rolling, you measure it, they're scoring around a 75 or an 80.
Right.
And, you know, it's really, really powerful. Company, it just flows at that point. So that's sort of the next level of where we're trying to go to.
Right. No, that's awesome. And look, so people can find out more about these 7 promises, the 7 question assessment, the BITE 7 assessment. And again, BITE stands for buy-in, inclusion, trust and engagement. Is that right?
Yes.
I got it right there on the board. I forgot to, I could have just checked because I do have the visuals here. But you can get the BITE 7 assessment at BITE7.com, right? BITE7.com. Yep. Learn more about Walt, you know, all the work that he's doing to help organizations like yours get more buy-in, inclusion, trust, engagement. And I appreciate you making the time to speak today.
Well, I hope it wasn't too much, Ben. You know, I get excited about this stuff. So
yeah. No, it is a lot, and it's a short conversation. But, you know, again, people can BITE7.com. People can learn more, and I appreciate it.
But in the last piece, this intentional culture, while the visionary might be the one who sets the culture, it's the integrator who makes sure it happens, uses the tools to get there.
Right.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm currently working with one client personally myself, still with the organization Wolf's Edge Integrators, and I'm working with one client now on a sort of a merger where sort of one organization sort of evolved into two about 20 years ago, and now they're merging them back into one again.
Yeah.
And starting to think about these questions as you're talking about it and how we can, just to make sure when we're doing this merger planning over the next few months, how we can incorporate this stuff at all levels, right? The people analyzer and the core values and make, you know, and the level 10 and the measurables and just making sure that's part of our planning.
Yeah. And where they fit and how they contribute to the overall goals of the merged unit, you know, because that might be changing a little bit, but it allows you to have a sort of a different level and a different filter to see how you're using the tools. I think you're dead on. Great.
That's good stuff. Really, really appreciate it. Appreciate the time. Right, BITE7.com. Thank you, Walt. Thank you, Uncle Walt.
Thank you, Ben.
And everybody else, we'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.